Welcome to Regeneration. My name is Bryce. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from fear of man, pride, low self-worth, this past week, lust of the eyes, and a little bit of anxiety during that Pokes game. But we came out on top. We shot them six shooters. I almost was going to wear a cowboy hat, but my team told me not to. So. Next time, after this next weekend, it's bear season, baby. Let's go. Well, we're here. Lois is from, she went to Baylor, so we get a little in a little tiff sometimes. But hey, last week, we began a brand new series called Family of Origin. And this week, we're picking back up in it. If you were not able to join us last week, and this is your first week here, or you missed last week, I highly encourage you to go and listen to last week's teaching on Family of Origin. It helps set us up to understand what we're going to be talking about tonight, what we're going to be talking about next week and the week following. So if you haven't had the opportunity, you can go to watermark.org/regen, or you can go on Spotify to Watermark Audio Recovery, and you'll be able to find those there. You'll just see it, Family of Origin. But we're picking back up in this week, and for those of you who were not here with us last week, I'm going to give you just a quick overview of what we talked about. So that you can jump back in with us now to understand properly what we're doing, or what we're talking about. So just to recap, what we talked about last week is who you are today, sitting in that chair, no matter where you come from, where you've been, what you've done, who you are today in your chair is deeply and profoundly influenced by your family of origin. And what I mean by family origin is not who you live with currently, but that childhood 1 to 18 family context that really shaped who you are in this room tonight. What we also talked about is that your family is God's good design to grow you up, to teach you his ways for human flourishing through the context of your family. But something happened and we broke that because humanity rebelled against God. And when we rebelled against God, the truth of God, our hearts were darkened and we ushered in what we call the domain of darkness. And if you don't understand what that means, it's spoken about in Colossians 1. The domain of darkness is the present reality of the world that we live in today. So you wonder why there's pain or brokenness, death or illness. It's because of the domain of darkness. It's because of sin that's been ushered into the world that currently is the present reality that we live in. But Jesus, God himself in the flesh, loved you so much that he came down to this world and he did something about it. He knew that you couldn't save yourself from that brokenness. He knows us better sometimes than we know ourselves. But he came, rescued us, took us out of this domain of darkness and transferred us. We see it in Colossians 1. It says, he has delivered us, God, from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Like, you were molded by this world, but he took you out and now he is creating a new way so that if you are in the family of God, if you're here tonight and you have surrendered to Jesus by faith because of the gospel, and now the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you are now a part of a new family, like a brand new one. Not the one that you come from, but the forever spiritual family of God. And now he is, by his Spirit, reparenting you in a new way, through his word, the truth in his scripture, and then by his people, as you begin to understand who he is in the midst of a new family. So if you're sitting in this room, that's what we talked about last week. If you're sitting in this room tonight, you are here really truly for one reason. I believe this fully. It's because God has you here for a purpose, and that purpose is to show you a new way, to teach you the way in which it is to live in the life of the kingdom of the beloved son, the new family. So you don't have to continue to walk in the old ways that you used to walk in. And what I'm trying to tell y'all is that no matter how broken or how destructive your thoughts or your beliefs are, big or small, all-encompassing, something you think about all day, or maybe something you don't even know that you're dealing with, maybe a belief deep within you that you don't even know that you have, big or small, God wants to change it, and he can, but he's the only one who can. He's the only one who can transform who you are. If you're here and you feel like you have no hope, Jesus is the hope, and he's inviting you into this family. And if you are in Christ, he's continuing to draw you out and invite you further in to the life of the beloved son, the true life that he offers us. So this week, we're going to be talking about, under the banner of family of origin, we're going to talk about something more specific, kind of the internal life Like your internal life, what happens in your mind and in your heart, deep within you. Next week, we're gonna talk about more actionable things, like what we do on the outside, what that looks like because of our family of origin, the way that we live in context of others. But tonight, we're gonna be talking more about the internal life. And one thing that's important to note is because last week, if you were here, I shared a little, that was 2 weeks ago, wow. If you were here, yeah, thank you, Sierra. She's my right-hand woman, I'm sorry. But if you were here, I shared a little bit about my life and kind of the difficulty that I experienced growing up with my parents. And I spoke, and I can hear like some of those people, some of y'all in here are like, man, that was like a difficult scenario. But what I'm here to tell you is that this family of origin difficulty or the way that we're shaped in negative ways by our family of origin does not stop at bad family dynamics. It also has to do with good family dynamics. Some of you came from Christian homes and you're like, well, my parents knew who Jesus was and they tried to show me Jesus' love. And some of y'all came from non-Christian parents, but it applies to all of us. And I'm about to tell you why, because we were all completely, when we were conceived, the scripture says, and we were born in sin, we were born in iniquity. So that means that from birth, every single person in this room, from birth, you are building your sense of reality or the narrative of your life in context of the domain of darkness. From birth, you are building what you believe to be is true, what you believe to be the way in which life works in context through the lens of sin. Because we are apart from Christ, we are apart from God from the moment of our birth, which means that the way you view the world, you perceive the world through the means of deception. And deception is withholding the truth. Like, and the hard thing about deception is that it almost seems correct, like it almost feels right, but it's just enough not true to cause brokenness and destruction. So because of this domain of darkness, we were born in sin, the iniquity, our nature, children of wrath. We view the world, we perceive and receive what's going on around us through the lens of sin, which ultimately means it's deceptive, it's not true. And here's an example of what I mean by you, whether or not you were born in like a good family dynamic or a bad family dynamic, Christian or non-Christian. I have a friend here at Watermark who grew up with Christian parents and they loved him so much. He said, they never made me feel like they didn't love me. Like they always told me they were proud of me. We hugged, we had a really deep and intimate relationship. But as they were growing up, he would see the way in which his parents would speak about people who did not agree with their value system. They would see how they would kind of look down upon them, and maybe they weren't super mean about them, but they would just kind of have this disdain, or they would distance themselves from people who didn't agree with the way of life that they lived. And so ultimately what began to happen as he grew up is he thought, you know what? Like my parents only love the people that do what they say, or they only love the people that agree with their way of life. So what I have to do, if I am to experience acceptance, if I'm able to be belonged to by my parents, I have to make sure I'm walking within the lines. I could do everything perfectly. And if I upset them, that means they don't love me as much. So now their life is just ultimately in some ways marked by anxious relationships with authority figures that are not even their parents. Like just authority figures around them, they have to please them or they feel like they're unaccepted. They have to agree with them or they feel like they're unaccepted, which is just straight deception. Because in the reality of that scenario with his parents, they weren't making him feel like he had to follow every single rule or they wouldn't love him anymore. That's completely false. They love him. They unconditionally loved him. And he looks back now, he's like, man, I mean, they never said anything that made me feel that way. I just began to believe that. And I guess it's because of the way I saw them speak about other people. And so he just perceived by means of deception, perceived the way of life through his parents in a way that caused destruction and broken relationships. And why do we know this? That the reason why, if you are apart from Christ, you cannot know truth from birth. It says this in Ephesians 4, 17, verse 17, it says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Gentiles are people in this context, what Paul is saying, is people just who do not know Christ. He says, don't walk the way that people who do not know Christ do in the futility of their minds. People who do not know God have futile thinking, useless thinking. It says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. He's saying, when you are apart from Jesus Christ is the embodiment of truth. God is the definition, the standard of all things true, the ultimate reality. And when you divorce yourself from him and you do not know him, you have no ability to perceive the truth. It's all deception. He said, because if you do not know this truth, your mind is futile. Your heart and your mind is darkened in its understanding. And then when that happens and you live your life long enough, it says they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Because of the domain of darkness and the way we perceive things through sin, whether it was a good interaction or a bad interaction, no matter where you come from, because of that, you create this narrative in you that makes total sense. Apart from God, you just can't see the truth. And we build these narratives of our lives, and I know that you're probably thinking some things about, like, your parents, like things you saw them do. I mean, maybe some of your siblings. You build this narrative based off of that family of origin time in your life. You build this narrative off of ignorance because you don't know the truth, and off of deception because you only know part truths. Because Satan, the one who is reigning over this current time in the domain of darkness, is speaking lies into your ears to make you believe things that aren't true. But just enough, like, well, it makes sense that I would do this, but it's not true, and we'll get to that. It says, because of this broken, built narrative that we create because of the domain of darkness, while we're alienated from God, we believe that this is just how life works. So much so that we don't even question what we do or why we do what we do. Like, for instance, these are real scenarios, because I was like, hey, I just don't want to try to conjure up some false, like, scenario, because I want these to be real things that y'all would relate to. For instance, if you had a mom, this is a friend of mine, if you have a mom who didn't give much emotional security to you, and you kind of longed for that, instead of what made you feel is like, man, I need this emotional security, instead of going to her for it, you decided to go off somewhere else and create that emotional security. But because you were supposed to be founded in a solid, never-ending relationship between you and your mom, you became so invested in this other relationship that it became codependency. And you went to, like, you would do anything you could do to make sure that you had this emotional security, so much so that you'll go further than you thought you ever would. And even if it kind of messes with you logically, like, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this, everything about you says, this just makes sense. Like, I got to. Like, I got to have this relationship. Or it could be your parents that were super loving and caring, and they encouraged you all the time, and they were like, hey, way to go, way to go. And you played sports, and you did well in school. You had a pretty good family dynamic. You never felt like they didn't love you, but for some reason, the only time they would tell you that they're really, really proud of you is when you made that A. Or the only time they would tell you that they were really, really proud of you is when you scored that touchdown or you made that goal. Or you performed really well in this play. Or, man, I'm so proud of you because you can sing so good, or you have this talent. So then you built unconsciously, and you didn't really know at the time, but then all of a sudden, everything about you became dependent upon how well you did at stuff around you, how well you were doing at life, how much you could achieve. And you live kind of in this anxious toy. You don't really know why you feel anxious all the time. But that's just the way life is, right? Like, we have to build ourselves on our achievements. Or your parents were emotionally absent or neglective or emotionally abusive. And so you never really felt safe with them. And you always were trying to figure out how, like, my parents doesn't want me or doesn't make me feel safe, but I want to be in relationship with them. And then as you grow up, you're distancing yourself away from your parents and you're building your own life outside of this, right? Like, maybe you're here in this room and you have some distance from your parents, but for some reason, you can't let people get close to you. For some reason, when you get into a relationship or you get into a friendship with somebody and they do something that makes you kind of feel like, ooh, I don't know if, like, it makes you kind of feel unwanted, then you shut them out. Because you're gonna make sure that you reject them before they reject you. I mean, I'm kind of reading my own mail right now. I'm sorry. I mean, it's kind of true. Or you had a family that really, really loves you. Like, this is my friend, a deep, I grew up with this family and I love them so much, but this family like loves the oldest son so much, but he's going through a lot of hard things and he just grew up in a family where they didn't want him to feel sad, right? Like, you don't want your family to feel sad, you want your friends to feel sad. But the way in which they communicated to him is that when he would say he's sad, when he would kind of open up his heart and show like, hey, this is what's vulnerably hard in me right now. They'd be like, dude, why are you feeling sad? You have your family, you have a job, you have everything you could ever want. Like, we love you, we're all around you, you have friends. You shouldn't feel sad, stop feeling sad, bro. Like, stand up, like, you don't need that. That's not how you should feel. And they wanna help him, but what they're doing is they're invalidating him. And every time they say, hey, you should stop feeling the way that you're feeling, he shrinks back and he begins to function in life. You know what, actually, because of what I've experienced, it actually makes more sense that I wouldn't ever show my feelings in general. Maybe I shouldn't feel feelings. Feelings are wrong. And so I'm just gonna reject and hide and stuff every single feeling I've ever felt. And he thinks that, you know, the harder this calloused outside of my heart emotions get, the more impenetrable I can be. But he's drinking his life away. And it burdens me because I love him. And it's so backwards. Like, a hard heart doesn't protect you. It never has. Stuff gets in, but you just don't let it out. Stuff gets in and you don't let it out. And it just seems to make sense because of this domain of darkness. Because in the domain of darkness, we are prone to build our sense of reality upon that which actually destroys us. Like, you're prone to look for life with futile thinking. Darkened in our understanding, we're prone to look for life in that what actually destroys it. Isn't that so backwards? That's why your emotional security and trying to reject people, like, you really want to find emotional security, but you reject people because you're afraid that you'll lose it. So you never actually have it. But what you're really looking for is it. That's why you try to shut out your emotions so that you can protect yourself, but it doesn't actually protect you. It's upside down and backwards, and that is the way of the domain of darkness. Like, if you wanna know the life of sin, the brokenness, the schemes of Satan, is to get you to think that what you really want is found in the thing that actually destroys it. And every single one of us has experienced it. I've experienced it many a times in my life, and often do realize that I continue to experience this backwards, deceptive thinking because of the domain of darkness. But in the kingdom of the beloved Son, if you're here tonight, this is for you. But in the kingdom of the beloved Son, our reality can be changed, not to that which makes us believe that the things that we find life in actually destroy it, but that to which is true and can actually bring you real life, like the freedom that you're looking for, the peace, the belonging, the secure identity can be found in Christ. Ephesians 4 says this. He's speaking now to Christians, those who have heard the gospel, the love of the Father, and have believed it and surrendered to him. It says this in verse 20. But that is not the way that you've learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth's not in the world. The truth's not in the way in which your family taught you to live your life or the way you perceived what was correct, how you could protect yourself. That's not the truth. The truth is in Jesus. And he says to put off your old self, to put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, the destructive, broken beliefs and thought patterns, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. You see how he's speaking straight to it? Like, the deceitful desire is that if I can just shut my emotions off, I'll never feel hurt again. How deceitful and backwards is that? It's never worked. And it says then, after corrupt through deceitful desires, verse 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. God created you with a beautiful design. In true righteousness and holiness, and the domain of darkness, our sin ripped it. But now he's bringing you back. And now you can experience the trueness of life that you really desire. When we were once far away from God, if you've been reconciled to Christ, you are now brought near to him. You are now brought near to the truth. And you have access to the whole truth. Like, you in this, like, the truth about who God is, the whole truth, the truth about reality, you have access to. The whole one. Now let me say this. When you are saved and you come into right relationship and you are now placed in the kingdom of the beloved Son, you don't have true understanding, you don't have full understanding of the truth of God. Because it doesn't just happen at one point in time. So if you've been here and you're like, okay, Bryce, well, like, I get that. I keep doing this thing because I keep feeling like I don't belong anywhere because of my parents and this, and I have these patterns and it hasn't been working. I've been trying my best and it's been taking a really long time. I mean, if you're telling me I have access to the whole truth, why hasn't anything been fixed? And let me tell you this, is that Jesus is the good teacher. God is the good father and he does so patiently. You don't have to have it all figured out right now. He's patient with you. He's teaching you. We were once spiritual orphans, but now we have a heavenly father. And now God is literally changing the reality of the life in which you walk. The narrative. From conscious, anxious, broken thoughts to the unconscious beliefs that cause us to live our lives and respond to people in ways we don't even know. And he's taking that, he's rooting it out, and he's killing it. Because he knows that it kills your joy and it kills your peace. And he wants you to experience him fully. And he does all this, like we talked about last week, through his word, his people, by the power of his spirit. And all that can happen right here in this room, Region. Like if you're in the groups, if you're going through the steps, if you're in community, if you're a member of a church, this church, that can happen for you. Sanctification, change, life transformation doesn't stop when you just say, okay, Jesus, like, I'm yours. That is where it begins. And then you experience life fuller and fuller as you go on. And it's good. I've experienced it. Many of you in this room have experienced it. So if you're sitting here, you may be asking, like, okay, Bryce, well, sweet, domain of darkness, kingdom of the beloved Son, you know, you got these problems, but God can fix it. Like, okay, tell me what I got to do, though, you know? I get it. I'd be one of the same thing. That's why I wrote this down. I said, because if you're wondering that, you might be excited, like, how do I take off the old self, though? Like, if Paul says take off the old self and put on the new, what does that even mean? How do I be renewed in the spirit of my mind? And how you take off the old self is you acknowledge the old self. Acknowledge it. Like, stop hiding it. Like, what I said earlier about the hardness of heart, there's a lot of y'all in this room who deal with that. I'm just gonna be straight, that's probably true. You have this situation where you're like, oh, if I just, hide it, get away from it, deny it, stuff it, then like things will get better. And now that I've said it out loud, you don't really have an option to not acknowledge it, right? So acknowledge it, put it out in the light, because if you don't acknowledge the old self, you don't know what you are to fix if you can't see it. Like, how can you know what you need to fix if you don't know it's there? So acknowledge the old self. And the problem of that is that there's deep things. The scripture says that our minds and our hearts are deep waters, but a man with understanding can draw it out. And you know who that man is? Jesus Christ. And so in Psalm 139, make this your prayer. As you go on, you try to dig up these things so that God can reveal these lies to you. He can reveal the old self that leads you to destruction. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know why this psalmist prayed that? You know why he said these words? Because he knew there was darkness and brokenness in him, in his heart, in his mind, that he couldn't see. But he knew God, the man, the God of understanding, could draw it out. And when you draw it out, you can acknowledge those lies in your mind. You can look to the truth of God's word to see what doesn't match up in your beliefs. And what I wanna say real quick is that it's not just the statements or the thoughts that you have that are lies, it's the feelings. Like when you interact with somebody and you feel really uncomfortable and then you start kind of shrinking away. I don't know if you got this. If you have fear of man problem, like, you'll get this, I do. So if you're interacting with somebody and they kind of make you feel like a little like unwanted, you start like in your like emotions and being like kind of start shrinking away, like, and you want to distance and move away. Like, that is a feeling of a lie that's happening in your mind, causing you to live your life in a way that is not in accordance to the truth of the gospel. And so that right there is what you call out. If you feel guilt or shame because of your past, know that Christ Jesus has paid for it on the cross fully, and you're a brand new creation in Christ. that is no longer who you are. Call out those reoccurring thoughts that belittle you, that self-condemnation. Call them out, expose them. And when you expose them with the truth of God, when God by the Spirit does that, then bring it to the people around you. Bring it to your group. Bring it to your step group, groundwork, first-time guests, your community group. Bring it to them and share it with them and have them pray for you. Because in the light is where Christ, Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, kills the old self. And he can do it. And he wants to. You can walk in a new way. Tonight, we're going to hear from a friend, Catherine, in the way in which God has been reparenting her and changing the way in which she lives her life because he loves her and he's a good father. So welcome up, Catherine, as she shares her testimony.